A Profex felsőfokú nyelvvizsga első vizsga szövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el a feladatlapot, erre 1 perc áll rendelkezésére. Most kétszer egymás után fogja hallani a szöveget. A két szöveg elhangzása között 30 másodperc szünetet tartunk. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére a feladatlap kitöltésére.
Fairchild and Glenhaven Funeral Services Limited. The judgment involved 3 appeals to the House of Lords on the issue of causation that were joined due to the similar factual circumstances of 3 claimants suffering from mesothelioma. One of the claimants, Mr. Matthews, was in the employment of multiple employers over the course of his working life, some for a period of years and others for a period of weeks. Each of his employers admitted to being in breach of their duty not to expose Mr. Matthews to asbestos dust. However, he was in fact exposed to such dust. Mr. Matthews subsequently contracted mesothelioma. The facts of this case highlight the inherent difficulty in determining which employer exposed the claimant to the asbestos dust that caused the progression of the disease and, furthermore, which employer was to be liable for causing the injury suffered. The House of Lords addressed the appeal by the claimants from the decision of the Court of Appeal by considering whether, in the special circumstances of such a case, principle, authority, or policy required or justified a modified approach to proof of causation. Although the House of Lords delivered a unanimous judgment, there were 2 lines of reasoning involved. The majority reasoning considered the principles behind the causation test itself being notions of justice. They decided that in these types of special cases, the circumstances call for a departure from the mechanical application of the causation principles. Lord Bingham, Hoffman, and Rogers each laid down rules for application of the special principle to other cases. Lord Bingham considered that a claimant may succeed if 1. The claimant was employed at different times and for different periods by both employer A and employer B, and 2. Employers A and B were both subject to a duty to take reasonable care or to take all practicable measures to prevent the claimant inhaling asbestos dust because of the known risk that asbestos dust, if inhaled, might cause mesothelioma. And 3. Both employer A and B were in breach of that duty in relation to the claimant during the periods of the claimant's employment by each of them, with the result that during both periods the claimant inhaled excessive quantities of asbestos dust. 4. The claimant is found to be suffering from a mesothelioma. And 5. Any cause of the claimant's mesothelioma other than the inhalation of asbestos dust at work can be effectively discounted, yet 6. The claimant cannot, because of the current limits of human science, prove on the balance of probabilities that his mesothelioma was the result of his inhaling asbestos dust during his employment by A, or during his employment by B, or during his employment by both A and B taken together. Lord Hutton differed from the majority's line of reasoning in that he considered the departure from causation could be explained on the basis that proof of causation was a matter which could be inferred from the facts. The interests of employer defendants and their insurers may be adversely affected if the principles of Fairchild are applied in Australia. In addition to the decision's impact on employers, Fairchild creates unpredictability in being able to determine and advise on whether negligence causing damage has occurred. The decision effects. Health and pharmaceutical companies who may be potentially liable for a side effect of a generic product that is sold by several manufacturers. Hospitals which supply blood for transfusion, for example, in relation to hepatitis B. Employers whose employees are exposed to biological agents that cause indivisible diseases, such as Lyme disease, tetanus, and tuberculosis. Fairchild and Glenhaven Funeral Services Limited. The judgment involved three appeals to the House of Lords on the issue of causation that were joined due to the similar factual circumstances of three claimants suffering from mesothelioma. One of the claimants, Mr. Matthews, was in the employment of multiple employers over the course of his working life, some for a period of years, and others for a period of weeks. Each of his employers admitted to being in breach of their duty not to expose Mr. Matthews to asbestos dust. However, he was in fact exposed to such dust. Mr. Matthews subsequently contracted mesothelioma. The facts of this case highlight the inherent difficulty in determining which employer exposed the claimant to the asbestos dust that caused the progression of the disease and, furthermore, which employer was to be liable for causing the injury suffered. The House of Lords addressed the appeal by the claimants from the decision of the Court of Appeal by considering whether, in the special circumstances of such a case, principle, authority, or policy required or justified a modified approach to proof of causation. Although the House of Lords delivered a unanimous judgment, there were two lines of reasoning involved. The majority reasoning considered the principles behind the causation test itself being notions of justice. They decided that in these types of special cases, the circumstances call for a departure from the mechanical application of the causation principles. Lord Bingham, Hoffman, and Rogers each laid down rules for application of the special principle to other cases. Lord Bingham considered that a claimant may succeed if 1. The claimant was employed at different times and for different periods by both employer A and employer B, and 2. Employers A and B were both subject to a duty to take reasonable care or to take all practicable measures to prevent the claimant inhaling asbestos dust because of the known risk that asbestos dust, if inhaled, might cause mesothelioma. And 3. Both employer A and B were in breach of that duty in relation to the claimant during the periods of the claimant's employment by each of them, with the result that during both periods, the claimant inhaled excessive quantities of asbestos dust. 4. The claimant is found to be suffering from a mesothelioma. And 5. Any cause of the claimant's mesothelioma other than the inhalation of asbestos dust at work can be effectively discounted, yet 6. The claimant cannot, because of the current limits of human science, prove on the balance of probabilities that his mesothelioma was the result of his inhaling asbestos dust during his employment by A, or during his employment by B, or during his employment by both A and B taken together. Lord Hutton differed from the majority's line of reasoning in that he considered the departure from causation could be explained on the basis that proof of causation was a matter which could be inferred from the facts. The interests of employer defendants and their insurers may be adversely affected if the principles of Fairchild are applied in Australia. In addition to the decision's impact on employers, Fairchild creates unpredictability in being able to determine and advise on whether negligence causing damage has occurred. The decision effects. Health and pharmaceutical companies who may be potentially liable for a side effect of a generic product that is sold by several manufacturers. Hospitals which supply blood for transfusion, for example, in relation to hepatitis B. Employers whose employees are exposed to biological agents that cause indivisible diseases, such as Lyme disease, tetanus, and tuberculosis.
A PROFEX felsőfokú nyelvvizsga második vizsgaszövegét fogja hallani. Kérem, olvass el a feladatlapot, erre 1 perc áll rendelkezésére. Most kétszer egymás után fogja hallani a szöveget. A két szöveg elhangzása között 30 másodperc szünetet tartunk. A második meghallgatás után 2 perc áll rendelkezésére a feladatlap kitöltésére.
Interview with a criminal defense attorney. Why did you choose criminal law?
I have always been compelled to pull for the underdog. During law school, I became interested in criminal law and procedure. I believe that our justice system, despite all its imperfections, is the best system in the world. I believe that everyone should be afforded due process and equal protection under the law.
Do people ever challenge you on your decision to represent the accused, some of whom may be guilty? How do you respond?
I ask them, if you put yourself or your loved one in the place of someone wrongfully accused, wouldn't you want effective representation?
Have you ever worked as a prosecutor, or have you always been a defense attorney?
I've been a defense attorney for 21 of the 22 years of my career. I spent 1 year prosecuting misdemeanors.
Tell us about a case that was a turning point in your career.
During my brief stint as a prosecutor, I realized that a police officer had testified falsely in a motion to suppress hearing. Rather than having the judge rule against the defendant, I moved to dismiss the case in open court. The defense attorney would never have known that the police officer had lied. I realized from that day forward how much power lies in the hands of the state and how much potential there is for an abuse of power.
Tell us about a case that you are particularly proud of.
I had a client charged with felony murder, drug possession, and armed robbery and aggravated assault. My client and his co-defendant had gone to the victim's house to sell the victim and his friend some drugs. My client was unarmed and did not know that his co-defendant was armed. The co-defendant got into an altercation with the victim and ended up firing his gun and killing the victim. Both my client and his co-defendant fled the scene and were apprehended several days later. Both my client and his co-defendant were charged with felony murder as a result of the shooting. After a week-long jury trial, my client was found not guilty of all counts, including murder. He was convicted of the drug charge.
In your opinion, is the criminal justice system fair to the defendant?
The justice system is definitely inequitable. Those who are unable to afford counsel are oftentimes forced to rely on public defenders who lack the time and the resources to effectively represent their clients.
Is there a particular type of case that you especially enjoy working on? Why?
I particularly enjoy working cases in which there has been an unlawful search or seizure. These cases present a unique challenge as well as an opportunity to confront unjust police practices.
How do you see your role as a defense attorney in the criminal justice system?
My role as defense attorney is an integral part of the criminal justice system. The justice system fails society if the accused is not zealously represented.
How do you see your role in the attorney-client relationship?
My role is to advocate for the best outcome for the client, whether it be a contested trial or a negotiated resolution. My role is to advise my client of all possible scenarios so that they can make their own informed decision.
What advice do you most often give to your clients?
I tell my clients that ultimately they decide the course they want to take in resolving their case. I tell them that they must consider all options and conduct a risk-benefit analysis when making a decision whether to fight the charge or negotiate a compromise resolution with the state.
Interview with a criminal defense attorney. Why did you choose criminal law?
I have always been compelled to pull for the underdog. During law school, I became interested in criminal law and procedure. I believe that our justice system, despite all its imperfections, is the best system in the world. I believe that everyone should be afforded due process and equal protection under the law.
Do people ever challenge you on your decision to represent the accused, some of whom may be guilty? How do you respond?
I ask them, if you put yourself or your loved one in the place of someone wrongfully accused, wouldn't you want effective representation?
Have you ever worked as a prosecutor, or have you always been a defense attorney?
I've been a defense attorney for 21 of the 22 years of my career. I spent 1 year prosecuting misdemeanors.
Tell us about a case that was a turning point in your career.
During my brief stint as a prosecutor, I realized that a police officer had testified falsely in a motion to suppress hearing. Rather than having the judge rule against the defendant, I moved to dismiss the case in open court. The defense attorney would never have known that the police officer had lied. I realized from that day forward how much power lies in the hands of the state and how much potential there is for an abuse of power.
Tell us about a case that you are particularly proud of.
I had a client charged with felony murder, drug possession, and armed robbery and aggravated assault. My client and his co-defendant had gone to the victim's house to sell the victim and his friend some drugs. My client was unarmed and did not know that his co-defendant was armed. The co-defendant got into an altercation with the victim and ended up firing his gun and killing the victim. Both my client and his co-defendant fled the scene and were apprehended several days later. Both my client and his co-defendant were charged with felony murder as a result of the shooting. After a week-long jury trial, my client was found not guilty of all counts, including murder. He was convicted of the drug charge.
In your opinion, is the criminal justice system fair to the defendant?
The justice system is definitely inequitable. Those who are unable to afford counsel are oftentimes forced to rely on public defenders who lack the time and the resources to effectively represent their clients.
Is there a particular type of case that you especially enjoy working on? Why?
I particularly enjoy working cases in which there has been an unlawful search or seizure. These cases present a unique challenge as well as an opportunity to confront unjust police practices.
How do you see your role as a defense attorney in the criminal justice system?
My role as defense attorney is an integral part of the criminal justice system. The justice system fails society if the accused is not zealously represented.
How do you see your role in the attorney-client relationship?
My role is to advocate for the best outcome for the client, whether it be a contested trial or a negotiated resolution. My role is to advise my client of all possible scenarios so that they can make their own informed decision.
What advice do you most often give to your clients?
I tell my clients that ultimately they decide the course they want to take in resolving their case. I tell them that they must consider all options and conduct a risk-benefit analysis when making a decision whether to fight the charge or negotiate a compromise resolution with the state.